Hello and welcome to Kungfology.com podcast, episode 2 of series 2. My name is Jake Newby and with me as always is Andy Best.
Hello.
And well, as you know, usually around about this time, this is where we would put in a fairly unfunny gag, I suppose. But no gags this week, Andy.
That's right, no joke and no anything really. I mean, we've been really slack. If you've been following the blogs, you will have been following the fact that there's nothing there. We went to one gig between two of us this weekend. So I'm going to open by talking about something else very close to our hearts, vegetable gardening. Because we all live in these apartments and, you know, we don't have gardens. And but we all have balconies and window boxes capability, you know, and we should all be using these to plant. Oh, okay, I'm just going to stop now. What I actually want to talk about right now, I'm changing my policy about encouraging listeners and readers to comment on the blog now. Because after my little joke about my trip to Thailand last week, we had someone, Max, come on and comment, not realizing that I hadn't actually been to Thailand. It was a joke. I mean, it's an honest mistake to make. But then other people obviously made the same mistake about the whole joke. I ended up down the real police station, been asked questions, and I've been fired from my job as a children's teacher. And next week I'm getting extradited back to Britain with Gary, for real. So don't comment on the fucking blog, you bastards.
Good. That's a nice welcoming intro to the podcast. So anyway, this week on the podcast, what are we going to look at? We are going to obviously talk about the one gig that the two of us went to last week.
I'm going to interrupt you there. That thing about, yeah, fuck off, you know, don't comment the blogs. Max, that was a joke, yeah. I'm not really telling you to fuck off. We love you.
We love you, Max. Yeah, don't take it personally. Being told to fuck off, don't tell me. But yeah, anyway, so right, what was I saying? Yeah, so this podcast then, we are going to talk a bit about the one gig that the one of us managed to get to last weekend, which was the Maybe Mars showcase. We're going to talk a bit about some of the things that Maybe Mars are doing up in Beijing, and that Splitworks are going to be doing with Beijing bands and Shanghai bands between the two cities. We're also going to talk about the new Lingling Zhousan space, seeing as how it's moved now. And then, as always, we'll take a look forward to the gigs coming up this weekend. So then, seeing as how I wasn't there at all, Andy, where were you last Friday?
Friday night, yeah. We'll get it right this time. Okay, so right, cool. I'm not going to talk the entire time. I'm going to ask you what you would have thought had you been there at some point, just to keep it interesting. So Friday night was the much talked about and anticipated Maybe Mars showcase, which we fully previewed in the last pod and on the blog, featuring four bands. Quick recap. The first band actually are officially not a Maybe Mars signed act, but Maybe Mars are working with them right now.
And what does that mean? They're putting them on live, or what does working
with them
mean?
You know, where you can go for this information, we'll link it in the post for this, is Dan Shapiro's blog at City Weekend. Wrote a little bit about this, about Rustic, and he said that Nevin Doma from Maybe Mars said they wanted to start working with this band because they fill a gap in the China scene of a kind of traditional, and how to say it, balls out, cock rock, kind of big hair spinning around rock performance on the stage. I guess a lot of bands, especially in the Beijing scene, are very cool, a little bit too cool. There's a lot of people complaining in the blogosphere about ourselves beside me and their backs to the audience, kind of performance, right? So I guess Rustic, you know, are being courted by the label to kind of fill a gap, and they're developing them, putting them on at shows and seeing if they're going to fill out the other areas of their sort of maybe the recording side, the other areas of their careers. So there was Rustic, then three fully signed Maybe Mars bands with great CDs, 24 Hours, who were always raving around. We're not wearing white gloves, blowing whistles, and making jazz hands next to them. Yeah, that's right. Ourself Beside Me, a favourite act of ours. great, great band, and the legendary PK14 headlining. So, yeah, now I'm going to let you ask me a question about it so we can hear your voice.
Good, thanks. All right, so Rustic then. Rustic kicked off, and were they sort of...
Literally, boom. Hey, they do high kicks, you see.
We weren't doing gags.
That's right, yeah. So anyway...
So Rustic started then. And,
so they came on. The place was still filling up, basically. It was about half as full as it was going to get about an hour later. And yeah, they were all right. I mean, I was in two minds about it, but a lot of other comment and reviews on the blog, there's a lot of appreciation and love for the professional performance, the twirling, the high kicks, the giving it to the audience and the energy. A lot of people really appreciated it, even if they're still at a kind of rough and ready phase right now.
They're good fun, I suppose, like the first time you see them. I don't know, I'm not all that into them, I have to admit. I mean, I have to admit, I've only seen them that once when they support 24 Hours for their CD release.
Right.
And, you know, and I can kind of see that they're a good sort of fun act, but I don't know. I mean, having seen them a couple of times now, I mean, do they sort of lose the appeal like the second time round?
Well, no, I think they were better on a bigger stage. People definitely appreciated them, but they were still lacking a bit. And I think it was a little bit to do with the sound, which I'm going to get onto later because... I mean, usually if you read the blog, I never, you know, criticize this kind of thing a lot. It's an underground scene. It's small. I don't expect the sound to be like Metallica playing Wembley Arena, right? But on the other hand, if it's Mao, it's a state-of-the-art venue, best venue in China. They've got all this equipment. And bands are coming down, like the Maybe Mars bands, who have a developed and defined sound. They know how their band wants to sound. They've got their tones, their effects, their balance. They've worked on it and they've arrived at it. If there's going to be any time where it sounds like that live, this should be the time, right? But that doesn't really apply to Rustic because if you go to their Doban page, it's demos. It's a mishmash of demos. They haven't really started like refining their recorded sound yet. They're still very much a live act. So, but I mean, they did sound bone dry and a little bit on the quiet side and... you know, I think it held them back at first, but the crowd warmed up to them. There was one moment. Now, if you can picture it, you'll see the photos. Ricky Six with his huge 80s glam metal hair. He's a big guy. This time, full makeup. He had his, like, gold silky shirt tied above the belly button.
Nice.
And his pants and his high kicks and his bass. And he took a swig of beer. He sort of, like, leaned up into a kind of bright sort of white shaft of spotlight and he did a kind of mist fountain spray up and then kicked into the track. And at that point, with like two tracks to go, you heard the sort of oh yeahs and the whooping coming out of the audience and people started to dance around and mosh a bit despite it being a bit sparse. So I think they won people over at the end.
And then next up was 24 Hours.
Yeah, now 24 Hours unfortunately had set the standards very high for themselves. I mean, I've heard people talking about their great CD, but a lack of stage presence. But me and you saw them and wrote extensively about them at the Halloween show at Uyuntang, and they were great.
They were great. Yeah.
They were amazing on that size stage, and both the sound and the energy of the CD was there. This time, they made a kind of odd decision. They put Your Song first, and they started with this really kind of slow half-speed pace to it, and then tried to warm up. But again, they... didn't manage to reproduce the sound this time. The sound quality wasn't that good. And it took them half a set to catch up and get people moving again.
That's weird, because 24 Hours, like, I mean, like their CD and their music is all about sort of short, sharp, kind of fast-paced kind of rock, right?
And again, right, I mean, you shouldn't, you know, people were into the gig. People had a good time at the show. It wasn't a bad show. The bands are excellent. Maybe Mars are great. All the material's fine. PK14 are legends, but... you know, I'd seen this band at Uyuntang, and this is no disrespect to Uyuntang, but I shouldn't be saying, like at a big, you know, double-priced Uyuntang gig at Mao with their new equipment and their big venue, I shouldn't be saying, these sounded so much better at Uyuntang.
Right.
I shouldn't be saying that, but that's what I was saying, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, as much as we love Uyuntang, it's not exactly state-of-the-art in the terms of the way that Mao
is. No, it's a small underground rock club, right? And we love it for that.
Yeah, of course.
And anyway... they only really got it together and like had an atmosphere and something going for them on stage and people were captivated by it for the very last song, which was their Bang Bang.
Yeah, their regular closer.
Cover version. Second. And that had people hanging on every note. It had the dynamics. It had the ups and the downs and the sort of performance they delivered a performance on that song that we know they're capable of, that we've seen before. But it came to the last sound. So two bands gone, we're still in the realm of the warm-up.
Mm. And then Ourself Beside Me came on and played with their backs to everyone, I assume.
Yeah, and this is what people are doing the reviews in the blogosphere are complaining about. But I thought this was the first band who Yang Fan managed to get her guitar sounding like it did on the CDs, their trademark sound, a bit. The rhythm section was in and out and muddy and stuff. But, you know, you could appreciate this as an Ourself Beside Me show. Unfortunately, they're not for everyone.
Yeah.
Right, but I love that CD. I bought it, you know, a year ago at the Dream Factory, maybe Mars, showcase. I love it to bits. Not just Sunday Girl, the obvious catchy single, but I mean all that CD. And when me and I'm going to throw the name Michael out, but I think people listening to the pod know is our mate Michael, who's another big fan. Me and Michael were at their Yuyantang gig, and we were like mesmerized for the whole hour they were on the stage. And you know, I get a bit starstruck around around Yang Fan. So I enjoyed that the most.
Okay, and then PK14 closed out.
So just like I wrote in the blog review, PK14 are legendary, and they have enough currency with the audience and enough aura about them that it didn't matter that the sound wasn't up to scratch. People just went nuts for them, right? Because they do, because they're PK14, they're good enough.
Amazing live, right?
Yeah, they're amazing. And Yang Haisong walked on the stage, everyone started going nuts immediately. And off they went, and that was enough, right? But again, I mean, just now we were just putting their first CD in. Shay.
Is that their first one, or have they got?
I always imagine it's the first one.
Is there not one before that? Go upstairs and turn left or something. Have I just imagined that?
Well, people can come on the on the comments and throw that in there. When I was doing my research for the pod, I looked at their Douban page, which lists all their products, and that's first in the.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just made that up
in the list.
All right, but anyway.
CD has a song in it called "Die Arschbarge Yingze," the 28th. Shadow is a direct translation, or there's not an official English translation. And, you know, that for me is my sort of favourite PK14 song. And it's got the kind of the nuance of the tone and the sounds, the beat and the slightly like offbeat way the vocals come in, and then the big booming chorus, which really kicks in live as well. And to reproduce that, I want to hear that reproduced at a place like Mao. I want to hear the nuance reproduced, you know, they're good enough and the equipment's good enough. And it wasn't, so I was a bit let down, but eventually I got carried away with the crowd and the last few songs, I threw myself in there. And Zach from Laia Borza did the manly thing, ripped his shirt off and started going for it in the mosh pit. And then when I read his review, I found out that he never found his shirt again, along with his camera case, apparently. So
it's not saying you want to be doing this weather.
Yeah, so I'm assuming he had a jacket to go home with. Zach, you are the hard man of Mao Livehouse.
Wow. but so overall then, you know, the bands were good, sound wasn't very good.
Yeah, well, the sound was just like an average sort of underground rock show in this huge place. I mean, the lights as well, it's a cavernous place. And they should be using the lights to set up a basic master setting that kind of defines the space. You're dark, it's dark in the audience, the stage is lit to a certain sort of confined space and create an atmosphere. But as usual at Mao, it was just like, let's flash our expensive lights continuously, different every song, in a fairly random way. But again, it didn't seem to detract. All the reviews coming out are good. People loved PK14 because they just love that band, right? And because maybe Mars have quality.
Right. And I mean, this is one of the things we were going to talk a bit about as well, is that, I mean, maybe Mars, as you say, they have quality. And one of the things that they're doing up in Beijing that you were talking about at the weekend as well, is that they're doing this night now at D22, which is, you know, effectively their venue, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's owned by the same people. It's where they've sort of built these bands around. They're building like a scene there, basically.
Right.
And so this night is, what's it called? Gen 6?
Yeah, Gen 6, Generation 6. So towards the end of the gig, we've talked to the Maybe Mars people electronically before, but I've never really properly talked to people like Michael and Nevin, like face-to-face at length. So I took the opportunity to stalk them and had a chat about a couple of things. And the Generation 6 night came up, and it's very interesting because they're actually like starting to publicize the fact now that they want to get into second tier musical cities. Of course, it's funny talking about Shanghai as a second tier city, but we're talking about the music scene. Mm. Beijing is the first tier. Everywhere else is everywhere else. Although obviously, arguably, Shanghai is would be second and the rest third. So they're starting to get involved now. And one of the things they're doing is looking for potential young bands at other cities to come and play at the Gen 6 at the Gen 6 nights. But they have to be college age at the most, of course. And the bands, I think, it made me think. It made me sit down and think, okay, so here's something we can all think about. What Shanghai bands are now at a level where they could headline a show or play a show in another city? Because for me, it's back to the Brad Ferguson golden rule, right? That you can only take a band seriously, right, when it can headline. And to headline, you should have an hour of good quality original material,
right,
like an album plus a couple more tracks, right? And if you don't have that, then you're still in development. And the only band, local band, who really nail that at the moment are maybe the Mushrooms, right? Of course, we've got Miniless and The Experiment. Love Rock C have got a whole bunch of material. Booji can play a gig. But they're still not playing, an hour as a headlining band and in the way that we imagine these indie bands like The Subs or the Maybe Mars People can play. So the Mushrooms are there, but they're obviously too old for that. But what we're going to see now is obviously more interest coming out of the Beijing scene in Shanghai bands. And the challenge for all of us sort of like involved in the scene in Shanghai is, can we produce?
Right. And can it carry across to another city?
Yeah, because we were talking about the Mushrooms now. Their appeal is very much built around a Shanghai community. I mean, I don't know, what do you think? Well, how do you think their appeal sits?
Well, it's interesting because, we're talking about these bands and whether they can go to another city and things. And something that's going to come up in March as part of the Dre Festival is that Splitworks are going to take the Mushrooms and they're going to take them up to Beijing. So Splitworks are doing this thing, it's called Crosstalk, and the idea is that they're going to be bringing bands, less well-known bands, should we say, like the younger sort of bands from Beijing down to Shanghai, and vice versa. And the first Shanghai band that they're going to take up to Beijing is the Mushrooms.
Right.
And
what do you think about that? Come on,
it's
your turn.
I love the Mushrooms, I do, and they're a great band to see live. I just wonder how it will go down in Beijing. I would be fascinated to be at that gig, I have to say. I just think, the Beijing sound is very much... Or the Beijing scene seems very much sort of built around kind of more kind of like artsy sort of rock bands. And I wonder... I don't know, I get the impression from what other people have said and from people who go up there to gigs that the Beijing crowd is a little bit more harder to please in a way, that they kind of... they'll sort of sit and wait for a band to impress them before they really get into a gig. Whereas, right, I think in Shanghai, generally people are ready sort of and ready to go for it from the off, And the Mushrooms are all about energy and their live sort of stage presence. But I just wonder the combination of the type of music that they play with the fact that they're from Shanghai, whether how it'll go down in Beijing, really.
Because their support, both online for the listens and the gigs, is based around a very sort of local Shanghainese community. And I'm wondering how many of the plays on their songs are from people in Beijing. I mean, do people... Because maybe Mars People didn't seem to know that much about them.
This is the thing. I'm not saying...
I don't know about Splitworks, if they've got networks for spreading the music first. Because a good Mushrooms gig, first of all, they're full. They're packed and they have atmosphere. So when the music kicks in, people don't feel self-conscious. They go off.
Right.
But the other thing is that fans turn up to Mushroom shows knowing the words of the songs. They love the band, and I'm wondering if the MP3s or the demos available on Douban have been heard amongst Beijing scene people.
I mean, you're not going to get it to that extent in Beijing, and I'm not saying that that they won't be a great show. I just wonder, this is the thing. I generally don't know how well known they are outside of Shanghai, obviously, because of
because
I live in Shanghai and the gigs I've always seen have been in Shanghai. This is going to be their first show playing in Beijing. I'd love to see how it went down. I hope it's a raging success and I hope people appreciate them in the way we appreciate them down here. But it'd be interesting to see whether people know of them there. And I think the other thing as well is just that there is, I don't want to say it's like a sort of snobbishness of the Beijing audience, but I get that impression that there is a little bit of that and that they kind of, they're quite dismissive of the Shanghai scene and of Shanghai bands.
Yeah. Now, you see, we're going to talk about this a bit later. I'm crossing over into previews now, but I've just had this idea on the fly because that's how I roll, is that a band who are kind of a more arty or a more nuanced sort of indie rock band who've just about to put out a CD and could, between both CDs, play an hour of headlining material.
Yeah.
Are actually Boys Climbing Ropes.
And he could, you know.
And Little Punk is a could be an art rock band, right? I mean, it practically is, right? I don't know. I don't want to sell them short by saying it's an art rock band, because they're not. They're like, well, the description's a bit on the page, like sci-folk punk band. But I mean, they're very individual. They've got their own sound. It's good that you can't pigeonhole them. But they're a band that could be appreciated by people in a who see themselves as being part of a developed music scene, who are looking for something more original or different or interesting in a band. So, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, Boys Climbing Ropes. Now, does my memory serve right? But didn't they go up and play B-22 pretty recently?
Yeah, they have played Beijing like a few times, yeah.
And Top Floor Circus too. So they specifically played D-22, but I've heard nothing about it. So I'm hoping, Morgan, that doesn't mean that it wasn't too hot. But
yeah, well, Boys Climbing Ropes are definitely a band who could travel, you know. I mean, if you look again down the list of sort of Shanghai bands, and you say, right, like you say, who can fill that, the Brad Ferguson standard? Who's going to have a sound that will appeal? And, you know, who could really go out to other cities and really sort of bring people in and play a great gig? I think, you know, Boys Climbing Ropes have got to be up there and, you know, at the top of your list.
And, if we're talking about maybe Mars, I mean, they're through their Maybe Noise project, they're already in contact with Hanhan.
Right.
They've done... Muscle Snogger got a CD out. Yeah. Bougie Reserved is on Modern Sky, right?
Yeah, it's on Modern Sky.
But again, a band who's...
Spy from Nanjing, their album is on Maybe Noise.
Right, so we have got some Shanghai... I mean, these are Shanghai-based bands. And they've gone up to Beijing, recorded CDs, right? I remember Brad took Hard Queen up to play a gig. So, I mean, these bands who've had CDs out have gone up and tried this. But then you don't really hear too much about it afterwards, right? And... another thing we talk about the lack in both the Chinese local community and the English language community in the scenes, a lack of good sort of single site coverage or blogs about these things. I mean, there's the BBS or the Douban group discussions, but, you know, where do you go to find out how these gigs went and what people who are paying attention think about them? I mean, you don't, right?
I have to say, actually, when I wrote a post recently about a site called Beijing Noise, which was launched up there, which was kind of, you know, I think it seems to be tending towards more preview stuff rather than reviews.
Right.
And I wrote about how, oh, you know, there's not that many sort of sites up in Beijing and things. And I have to say, in my ignorance, I completely ignored Pete's site, welivinbeijing.com, which is a really good site, actually.
Is that a music site?
It seems mostly sort of music orientated. There's a lot of good music coverage on there. But again, I don't sort of check it all that regularly, I have to say, just because I don't live in Beijing. So
yeah, because we don't live in Beijing.
The URL kind of doesn't apply to me so much. But I'd love to, you know, if some of those guys could come on and if they went to some of these gigs up in, you know, of Shanghai bands in Beijing, you know, how they went and how, whether there is a kind of, I don't know, I just wonder if there's a bit of a stigma because they're from Shanghai.
Well, we've talked about this before, that what do people think about the Shanghai scene outside of it? We've already done this on a pod and in a blogcast. What the fuck? Okay. We've already done this in a podcast and on the blog. And we came to the conclusion that if we're going to be known for anything, it might be the Meaningless Experimental bands because they're doing the CDs, right? But now if we see this crosstalk thing or maybe Mars getting more involved in Shanghai, maybe... we're going to see some more like gig visibility of bands and we'll finally get to see what the new image of Shanghai is going to be around.
Absolutely. So anyone who is up in Beijing, listen to this, go and check out the Mushrooms and you can finally see what it is we're always blabbing on about.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to people who develop young generational bands, of course, we always talk about 0093, who've always been, you know, at the forefront of that community-based activity, along with Yu Yintang in support. And but we also sort of reported on the fact that it had moved or been forced harmonized by the reach of the expo. So on the Friday night gig, I bumped into the two guys selling their wares at the door, and they told me that they'd not only found the place and were in it, but that it was open in Taoyang Road. So we went on a bit of an adventure, didn't we?
We went on a Conphology field trip today.
So what happened?
So
it was really riveting, believe me.
So we went out. So the new Ling Ling Zhou Sand Space is out. It's near Taoyang Lu metro station, so up in Putuo district. So we went out there and we went, and it was...
Let's get some storytelling going here. We were going to record the pod. Jake walked in and I said something and he said, we had the same, like, come on, tell the story here.
I wasn't sure if people were that interested in the
details. They're going to love this. All right. They're going to especially love how it goes nowhere.
Thanks. I'm glad you're letting me tell it then. All right, good. So, yeah, so I came over to Andy's, over to the pod, to our exclusive, you know, five-star studios where we record these podcasts. And we were talking a little bit about the gigs, and Andy had said that the Ling Ling Joe Sandboys have been selling CDs there at the Mal Livehouse, maybe Mars Showcase. You know, particularly Bougie's Reserved is a CD that I know has been out for a while and that I've really wanted to get my hands on and haven't been able to do so far. So when Andy mentioned that there was this new Ling Ling Joe Sound space and that it was open and that they were selling CDs, we thought, great, well, let's go and find it then. So we got on our bikes and we pedaled out in the cold. It's very cold out there today, I have to say.
Yeah, my poor toes are like blocks of ice. Yeah, go on, sorry.
So we got on our bikes and we pedaled our way up to near Taiyanlu metro station on Lanxilu. We got there and it's basically a housing estate, right?
Yeah, we tried to track it down. It's the same thing, but instead of being a separate bomb shelter by itself, it's like a lot of the old rehearsal studios are, like Juju's. It's like the basement of a block, basically.
Well, this is our assumption, and then we found the block and then still couldn't find the space. There was a guy there who sort of seemed like he might be in a band, so we sort of loitered behind him for a little while.
That was a dead end.
Yeah, and then he just stopped moving. So we scouted out the block anyway. We went around and just happened to spot this door, like this random sort of door on the outside of the building, and a little sign next to it that said Red Rock, a rehearsal studio space.
Right.
So we thought, bingo, we found it.
I looked after the bikes. You went down there. What happened? What did it look like?
I don't know. It was a bit like being in a horror film or something. I was a bit worried. You'd never see me again or something. I would never be able to record another podcast.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the last series of podcasts flashed before my eyes at one point. it's like the basement of this building. And there was just a constant sort of dripping noise somewhere. It really stunk. And it was like a dirtier and grottier Ling Ling Joe San, if you can imagine such a thing. I mean, Ling Ling Joe San, again, I love it, but I don't know what the hygiene certificate would be for that place if the inspectors came down to do those smiley face things, you know.
Like, there's a lot of, let's call it open plumbing is the euphemism. Yes,
that's nice.
But we loved the place. And it looked pretty much abandoned. And then what's really funny was that Jake came up the stairs. I was looking down the stairs into the depths. And I was like, is anyone there? Could you see anything? He's like, no, there's no one there. It's dead. It's dark. It's dank. I can't see anyone. And then suddenly, like, I could see something moving behind him. And this sort of like typical sort of like young 30s-ish IE woman in a pyjamas sort of came and slippers came like walking out the door behind him. I didn't know. Where did she come from?
I promise nothing had happened. It's not like that.
But where did she come from?
I have no idea. Like, all the doors were locked down there. There were no lights.
Completely
on.
Dark, yeah.
Yeah. And there was, like I say, it was just a dripping tap somewhere in the distance. And then I can see Andy looking over my shoulder, and there's this lady, like, and she's like, yeah, who are you looking for?
Yeah, I had no idea where she came from. Yeah. And she was in, like, you know, fairly well groomed, in good health. She didn't look like she'd been, like, wandering
hidden
around.
Hidden away in a basement.
Yeah,
for
yeah, locked under the
years.
Stairs.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And after a brief conversation, we managed to ascertain it was the correct place, that we got Jiang Xiaoqing's name out of her. And the long hair and beard description, and that it was his place. It was open. He just hadn't turned up yet.
Right. So if they tell you that, you can go and get CDs from there, you might want to wait a bit and don't go there yet. Yeah.
I'm going to use the Taobao to catch up on my sort of Shanghai experimental CDs to get my Bougie in and stuff. I'm going to use the Taobao shop because the bands, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, these bands have got these CDs now and they're available via Tian Tian at this Taobao store if you track them down. But I mean, the bands never go to like other gigs and events at Yuyintang and sort of hand them out. I mean, you don't have to wait for your own gig to stick them on the table. You can go to somebody else's gig and stick them on the table, right?
You just have a stash at Yuyintang like the whole time and put a few on display and just, as long, you know, if you
have someone out of the band pop by and just try and sell a few, right? Because I mean, I'd buy them. I'd love it if I went to Yuyintang and there was a little table out if people did that. Anyway, it's time to go on to
move on? Right.
Some previews.
So then, this weekend, let's start with Friday, shall we? Friday night.
Yeah, we've got Yuyin Tang, and then Yuyin Tang. Sorry.
Right. So Friday night is actually there's the Andrew Bird gig is on Split Rex, bringing Andrew Bird over. He's at Zhejiang Dream Factory, I believe. But
right,
local band wise, we have Playful Warrior show over at Yuyin Tang, right? So who's playing that?
That's a core. I'm going to say a hyphen or a dash core showcase. The whole thing of it is they got four headlining bands. Like a quadruple headliner, and each one is a different kind of core. There's like a hardcore, a metalcore, an emo core, and a something else core.
Extremo core.
Maybe it's extremo core.
Why not? I'm just gonna diversify my new genre.
Right, extremo core band. And it's basically Chaos Mind, Loudspeaker, Forget and Forgive, and
Six Shot.
Yeah. They're the four bands, and there's a kind of, it's funny, there are four bands all playing and headlining, and then they've got a support band on top of that called La La Ying. And actually we saw them at an 0093 show in Mao, funnily enough, and they were quite good. They had a really badass female bass player with a really low slung bass and huge like wrist guards on and stuff.
Huge wrist guards?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
I was going to say something else for a minute.
No, like really, you bastard, like really thrash metal sort of like big wrist guards on, and but they were the ones who threw us as well by like breaking their quite tight thrash metal set to play this like funk pop ballad in the middle of it. But anyway, they're opening, and so there are five bands on, and they're all kind of like heavy bands, apart from Forget and Forgive, who we played on the last pod, and they're like kind of quite accessible and catchy. So that's Friday night. So if you're up for your moshing or your headbanging, your straight headbanging, that's going to be it's going to be the night. Now, I'm going to let you talk about the next show, which is the big one. Boys Climbing Ropes have got their CD release. And this is just, you know, getting Jake frothing at the mouth in support. Duck Fight Goose. So I'm going to let you talk about this show. Go for it.
All right, good. So the long-awaited second CD from Boys Climbing Ropes. It's no longer called Jing An, which was the name that I thought it was originally called.
Right.
And possibly put in a certain listings magazine that's out around now. But anyway.
Is it in timeout?
Yeah, it might be.
Might be.
Thanks, guys. But yeah, it's now called Accept the Darkness, which is a line from the song, I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Sashkatu, is it? Is that how
Are you
say
talking
it?
About Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
I've drawn a blank. Sorry, it's the song named after the province or the capital, because the city is called Saskatoon, and the province is called Saskatchewan. I'm sure it's called Saskatchewan.
Someone,
I lived in Alberta.
Someone from Boys Climbing Ropes or who is Canadian, please get on the blog and clarify which one. I can't remember.
It's funny how, because we turn the PCs off, do the podcast because of the background noise, and then we lose all our references and we're too lazy to make notes. But yeah, Saskatchewan is the province next to Alberta, where I lived for a couple of years. And there's a really great city there called Moose Jaw. Or is that at the edge of Alberta? Maybe I'm thinking of Medicine Hat.
I feel like we're going off on a tangent here slightly.
So anyway.
So anyway, that song is up on their Boys Climbing Ropes Doban. And it's, so that's off of their forthcoming album, which I believe is going to be called Accept the Darkness. We've been counting down the days almost to this. I'm very, very excited by this gig, I have to say. I mean, you know, I actually saw Boys Climbing Ropes and Duck Fight Goose play like just over a week ago. But I don't care. I could watch those bands every night of the week if I had to. It would be brilliant. Like we were saying earlier about talking about bands who could travel outside of the city, Boys Climbing Ropes are far and away one of the best bands in Shanghai. Duck Fight Goose, again, are a fantastic, fantastic band. The fact that it's those two together and that Boys Climbing Ropes are releasing CD should be enough to get you down there. And I know the last time, on the last series of podcasts, we had a habit of jinxing shows that we previewed. But this is a definite must-see. You just have to go. You just got to be there.
Yeah, and Boys Climbing Ropes are going to be obviously headlining and playing a longer set Saturday night, Yuyin Tang. I mean, come on, yeah, if we get everyone down there, I'm just jinxing it to death now, aren't I? Sorry, guys, but if we get like a proper packed Yuyin Tang, because, I mean, I don't know what it is with Boys Climbing Ropes, maybe it's the expat love, but sometimes when they do get a few people in there, it's like not the kind of the up-for-it gig people, you know, I want to I want to be sardined. I want to be jumping up and down to a couple of these songs. And this is, if it's going to happen at any time, this should be it. This should definitely be, let's see if they can top the Mal performance. But talk more about them, Jake. Duck Fight Goose. Maybe there's one listener out there who still is unfamiliar with Duck Fight Goose, and you might want to take about 2 minutes to go over that.
This is how professional we are.
We are professional. We got 45 minutes on the pod, including the song. So we got about 2 minutes, and we got New Faces Underground to go through. So,
if you're tired of me talking about Duck Fight Goose, you can probably skip the next couple of minutes then. Just skip through. All right, so deep breath. Duck Fight Goose are what we like to think of as a minimalist supergroup. So they take Han Han from Lava Rock Sea, and they've got Darman on drums, who's from Bougie, and we hope still from Hard Queen. We've got San San in there as well, who's also from Bougie. And we've got Panda, who is once of Muscle Song.
I just realised I've got something legitimately fresh and new to talk about.
Oh, great. Thank God.
So we always say this.
I was fucking enough about them.
I actually got some sort of like high-level confirmation on our theories here. Ooh. So when I was talking to the Maybe Mars guys, here comes nasty name-dropping. But yeah, Michael Pettis, who started it, who commented on the blog, and we're in touch with these guys, but we got to talk to them face-to-face. Well, I did. You weren't there.
Yeah, I wasn't there. Yeah.
You slack fucker. Anyway... One of the things that I mentioned is that right behind me when I was talking to Michael, sitting down on the couch backstage, was Yang Fan, the guitarist from Ourself Beside Me. And I just think she's great and she's badass and she's cool. And I sort of lose it and get a bit starstruck despite, you know, my 20-odd years of listening to music and that. And anyway, I made the comment that, you know, I started to make the comment, and then Michael started to make the same comment, and we laughed and realised that we had the same opinion, that Ourself Beside Me, people like Yang Fan, people like San San from Bougie and the Muscle Snog and the Lava Rock Sea people, in a New York or a London, in an avant-garde scene, would be worshipped. They'd be at the head of it. And I'm always saying this to anyone who will listen, which is never their choice. I'm always saying this, and I found someone else who's a high-profile... It sounds like I'm high profile respected. Sorry, I found someone who is high profile and respected, who completely agrees with me and sort of spontaneously said the same thing at the same moment, that these people, Ourselves Beside Me, Bougie, people like San San, Darman, Han Han from Minilez, these people would be like, you know, adored in a developed avant-garde scene, and they're that talented and they're that great.
Absolutely.
So anyway, finally, before we give you an exclusive track off the upcoming Boys Climbing Ropes CD.
You probably say exclusive in some sort of, you know, I don't know, Hollywood style or something.
Yeah, and I haven't got the voice for that. I've got a whiny nasal Brit voice. You need like a kind of deep resonant voice to say, now on the KungFuology.com podcast, exclusively and live, brought to you by a bad... I'm going to stop right there. Boys Climbing Ropes, because we're not... bringing it no, to you right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's happening on Sunday?
Rounding out the Holy Trinity of Union Town gigs. There's a special New Faces Underground gig. I don't know what makes it special. Maybe just that it's on a Sunday. But New Faces Underground, this is like, I think it was Han Han's idea. It's like, but you know, it's basically the what it says it is. It's the showcase for new bands coming up and see. And so playing this one are going to be... More lead year, I think.
Who we have heard nothing about.
Nothing at all.
Which is why you go to New Faces shows, by the way, you bastards, you know, to see bands you've never heard about.
So Mo Lead Year and Candy Wine are playing this New Faces Underground. So, again...
What's going on there?
I don't know.
Candy Wine, and we've got Caramel Mint, and what was the other one? Bang Bang Tang, Lollipop.
Bang Bang Tang, Candy Shop.
We've got a lot of bands coming out named after assorted... confectionery and foodstuffs.
Honey roast pork. I could go on.
Yeah, honey roast pork as well. Right. Right, yeah.
Anyway, so Candy Wine and Molly Jit are playing on Sunday at the New Faces Underground show. So if you fancy a gig on a Sunday and if you fancy checking out a couple of bands who none of us have ever heard of before, go and check it out.
That's right. Or if we go, we'll tell you all about it on the blog so you don't have to. Okay.
Absolutely. So now then, a band who we have heard of and who we often blab on about. We've got an exclusive track from them from their forthcoming album. It's going to be out this Saturday at Uyuntang, album release show. And at the risk of just jinxing it even more, just come. It's going to be absolutely blinding.
So this is Boys Climbing Ropes with Whale Song. And goodbye.